We continue on with our service here today. I'm glad that you're with us, and this is a very special service, and I'm glad that each of you could come and be a part of it. And I hope it'll be a service that you remember and you can think about and dwell on. But we're going to be talking about a call to ministry here this morning. And we'll be in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And so if you want to open your Bibles there, I encourage you to do so. This is our ordination service for Mako. And I thought it'd be fitting to talk about being called to ministry. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. And Lord, as we take the time to consider your servant, your man here today, being called into the ministry, Lord, I pray, God, that we would not only do our part in relation to his calling, but your hand will be upon him and his family. And Lord, I pray that as we talk about being called into ministry, that maybe there's others here, Lord, that you've got your call upon their hearts as well. And they would be willing to take the information that we talk about here today and apply it to their own lives. And Lord, I know there may have been maybe some here, Lord, that you have called them. And Lord, they're really not where they should be. They're not really where you have called them. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit will just convict their hearts here this morning. And I pray, God, that they would return, Lord, to where you would have them to be. And so, Lord, I pray your blessing will be on our service here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is not merely a ceremony. It is not simply a recognition of years of preparation or study or sacrifice or service. Ordination is a sacred acknowledgement that God has placed his hand upon a life and has set apart that life for his purpose. Throughout the scriptures, whenever God calls a man, he also commissions him. Moses stood before the burning bush. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Jeremiah was called by God before he was even born. The apostles left their nets whenever they got the invitation from Jesus Christ to come, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And today we gather because we believe that the same God still calls men into his service. We're not merely recognizing Mako's ability, or education, or potential. We are recognizing the evidence of God's call upon his life. This is why we met together yesterday before his peers to examine the evidence of his calling, his salvation, and to make sure that he is on the same page and that his beliefs are true and correct and right. We hired him about 6 months ago, and part of that was this was sort of a, maybe like a probation period time where we have an opportunity to examine him, to look at his life, to hear him preach, to hear him defend the Word of God. After about 6 months here, we have decided that now's the time, and we want to get behind him. We want to see him ordained for the work of the ministry that God has for him, and we want to take that opportunity to do that, to lay hands on him and to commission him into the work of the Lord here this morning. The Apostle Paul never lost his wonder that God had chosen him for ministry. And years after his conversion, he still marveled at that. And so what I'd like to do here is I'd like for all of us to stand together in honor of God's Word as we read 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. Let's all stand and read it together. I know it's only one verse, but we're going to be having soup, and so you need to work up an appetite. And so we're going to have you stand together in honor of God's Word as we read it. And 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I want to briefly focus on the three phrases here that Paul uses in this verse of Scripture. He is overwhelmed at the thought that God put him into ministry, and in this context, he is sharing his testimony. Paul never tired of telling people what Jesus has done for him in his life. And notice in verse 12 here, he uses the personal pronoun me three times. Notice the deeply personal nature of Paul's testimony here this morning. He says, our Lord who has enabled me, who has counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. The word ministry there is a noun. The verb form is minister. To minister means to be a servant or to serve. Ministry means a place of service. So a minister is someone who ministers in a place of ministry. To be a minister is a wonderful thing. And Paul never got over the grace of being called. And neither should any minister. In this single verse, Paul gives three great truths about ministry that every servant of God must remember. First of all, notice that he was called by God's ordination. Let's go back to verse 12 there, and I'm going to look at it from back to front here this morning. He says, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord putting me into ministry. Paul understood that ministry was not his idea, but it was God's initiative. The phrase, putting me into ministry, conveys the idea of being appointed, assigned, or commissioned. We're having an ordination service here this morning, and we understand that here this morning. We understand that, first of all, ministry is a divine calling. No committee can create a minister. No college can manufacture a calling. No church can ordain what God has not called. Ordination recognizes what God has already done. It's a divine calling. Secondly, a ministry is a sacred trust. In a little while, we're going to have this beautiful time of prayer and laying on of hands of Mako. And our church has called for the ordination of Mako. And our gospel ministers here have identified with the calling him into ministry. We are saying, we are acknowledging that God's call upon your life, and we commit ourselves and identify ourselves with you. We commit ourselves to pray for you. I was ordained in the States, and I remember these godly men who came and laid their hands on me. They identified with me. They committed themselves to me as I was being called into ministry, and as I remember, as maybe some of you ministers remember, it's a very humbling experience to have these men of God gather around you and commit you to the Lord. Ministry is a holy responsibility. The ordination, truthfully, is a matter of God's ordination. Paul says, I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, putting me into the ministry. It seems a little old-fashioned maybe to some, but I still believe in a God-called ministry. Don't you? I believe God still calls people to ministry. If God doesn't call you, then you'd probably better not come into full-time ministry. Ministry is not a profession. It's a passion. God called me into ministry. It wasn't my idea. It was God's plan. Man, I was a timid little boy in high school. I was scared to death to stand up in front of a bunch of people. And even some people may ask me today, do you get nervous standing up there in front of all these people? Every Sunday I do. I'm sort of reminded of that verse, and I feel like that verse, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. But I am different for a reason, for a different reason than you may think. When I walk up to this pulpit and I take the Word of God and I open up the Word of God and I share with you what God has laid upon my heart, I understand that I represent the Lord Jesus Christ here, and I know that eternal souls are at stake here this morning. Mako, that's That's an awesome responsibility. And I hope you feel the weight of that as well. Make every time you step behind a pulpit, remember that eternal souls are listening. Every sermon matters. Every prayer matters. Every conversation matters. Every song matters as you stand as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. The ministry is not a profession to pursue. It is a passion that pursues you. Don't you dare go into the ministry unless you are called of God. How do you know that you are called of God, you may ask? Well, that's an interesting question, and I don't know exactly how to answer that question except to say that if you are called of God, you will not be content doing anything else but what God has called you to do. And we even discovered that as we had our ordination, as Mako went and tried to do some different jobs and things and worked with the little critters and things like that, and he realized after a couple of weeks, he says, you know what? This is not what God has called me to do. And so we recognize that in his life. The Apostle Paul was so passionate about his calling. Like Paul, every God-called servant eventually arrives at the place where he can say, as Paul did in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." You feel the passion behind that verse. A man called by God may be able to do many things, but he will never be satisfied doing anything else. Thank God, Mako, who has been called, is passionate about his ministry. So first is God's ordination, and then he was counted worthy through faithfulness. Let's look back at verse 12 once again. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who counted me faithful." I mean, that's a pretty awesome statement, isn't it? It's as if Paul was saying here, God looked down at me and God said, "I believe I can count on him. I believe he'll be faithful." God looked at Paul not because he was perfect, not because he was talented, not because he was famous, but because he knew Paul would be faithful. And with that, I think about this, and I believe that God values faithfulness above fame. There are many things that you may not be able to do. I wasn't long in the ministry before I discovered that I was not going to be the next Billy Graham. Close. Mako, you may or may not be the next Billy Graham. You may or may not become one of the greatest preachers of this era. You may or may not be another Peter who preached and thousands came to Christ. You may or may not be like Paul who won people to Christ wherever he went. But there is one thing every minister, and not just every minister, every single believer. I'm making eye contact with all of you here this morning. I'm talking to you. There's one thing, not for every minister, but for every single believer that you can do, and that is to be faithful. To be faithful. Not every minister will preach to thousands. Not every minister will write books. Not every minister will become widely known. But every minister can be faithful. Success in ministry is not measured by crowds. It is measured by consistency. And God doesn't give every one of us the same opportunity. That's not our choosing. But God has called all of us to be faithful. Next thing we see is faithfulness begins in private. Before you are faithful in public, you must be faithful in the prayer closet. Before you are faithful before people, you must be faithful before God. A public ministry is only as strong as a private walk. And so it's important for us to have that integrity, to have that reputation in ministry, that we're not only going to tell you what to do, but like Paul says, hey, why don't you go and you do what I do? Follow me. Follow my example. Faithfulness also extends to every area of life. There's not just your church life and then there's your secular life. It extends to all areas of life. You must be faithful in your daily life. Mako, be faithful. Be faithful to your Lord. Be faithful to your Bible, to God's Word. Be faithful in your prayer life. Be faithful to your wife and your family. Be faithful to your church. Be faithful to the gospel. One day, the greatest words you will hear will not be well preached. It will not be well known. It will not be well accomplished. But it will be well done, good and faithful servant. The goal was not prominence. The goal was faithfulness. And you must be faithful to the work which God has called you to do. God is saying to you here this morning, Mako, I believe I can count on you. I believe I can count on you. I believe that you're going to be faithful. He counts you as faithful. But also, we see that Paul was clothed with God's strength. Back in verse 12, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me." He has enabled me, our Lord who has enabled me. This is a great encouragement of ministry. The God who calls also equips. The God who commissions also empowers. We see God's calling comes through God's strength. Paul was not relying upon natural ability here. He was not relying upon he was relying upon supernatural enablement. The word enable there carries the idea of infused with strength. He was clothed with God's power, strengthened for the task ahead. He has enabled me, he says. That is an interesting word here, and it means to be clothed with strength. God's strength is also revealed through human weakness. God delights in using inadequate people. Moses stuttered. Jeremiah, he felt too young. Timothy, he battled with fear. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Dwayne failed ninth grade English twice, and English is his native language. God used them all. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because God's power shines brightest through human weakness. God's strength also makes the impossible possible. Do you remember the verse of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13? If you haven't put that to memory, I would encourage you to do so. I want you to put that verse to memory, not just for us in ministry, because we're going to go through some hard times. We go through some rough times in ministry, and there are times when we feel like, man, we it's hard to go on. It's hard to take that next step. And if we can go back to Scriptures and we can see Scriptures like Philippians 4:13, where it says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me," that gives us the encouragement that we need to continue on. And that's true not just for ministers, that's true for all of us here this morning. When you wake up on Sunday morning and you feel like, you know what, I just don't feel like getting out of bed. Take this verse. Have a look at this verse, and then you pray, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." Why? Because it's that important. I want to come and I want to worship my Lord here today. I want to come and listen to God's Word and see what He has to say for me today. And who knows, maybe the information that He has for me today is exactly what I need in my life right now. It's God's strength sometimes that makes the impossible possible for us in our lives. This is the God who strengthens me, who clothes me with power, who demonstrates His power in my life and ministry. There are two dangerous statements in ministry here this morning. First is, "I can't." That's pessimism. I can't. And the second is, I can. I can. That's presumption or pride. The biblical answer here this morning is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not I can't, not I can, but Christ through me to accomplish His will in my life. There are some Christians who, when you call on them to do something, and they're always saying, well, I can't. I can't. In fact, the new Christian thing now is like, oh, I'll pray about it. You know, you hear that over and over again. Finally, it's like, well, that's just their way of saying, you know, the Christian way of saying, I ain't going to do it. I don't want to do it. Some people say, well, I can't. Some people are so pessimistic. A pessimist is one who feels badly when he feels good for fear he'll feel worse if he feels better. Someone said, he who says, I can't, shouldn't stop those or interrupt those who are actually doing it. And I agree with that. Don't listen to the language of a pessimist here this morning. Paul wasn't speaking the language of pessimism or presumption or pride, but Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatever God has called you to be, whatever God wants you to do, whatever place of ministry He has assigned to you here this morning, God has committed Himself and demonstrating His power. And He will work mightily in and through your life here this morning. Mako, there's going to be days when the burden seems heavy. It's going to happen. There's going to be days when the opposition is fierce. Days when discouragement comes. Remember that the one who has called you has also committed himself to strengthen you. Dale Moody, a famous evangelist, once heard a man say, the world has yet to see what one man totally devoted to God can do. Then Dale Moody said, oh God, let me be that man. Let me be that man. And as a result, God took a humble layman who could hardly put two words together correctly to shake two continents for the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows what God can do in your lives if you let Him clothe you with His power? D.L. Moody went on to say that if God calls a man to his work and will be with him in that work, he will succeed, no matter what the obstacles may be. Let us put ourselves in the hands of God, and our very weaknesses and our infirmities will be used by Him to gain victories we never dreamed of. Mako, today we celebrate God's call upon your life. But this day is not the finish line. It's the starting line. Years from now, the success of your ministry will not be determined by how many sermons you preach, how many buildings are built, and how many people you know by name, and how many people know your name. It will be determined by whether you remain faithful to the one who has called you. Never lose the wonder that God chose you. Never lose that wonder. Never lose the humility that God has trusted you with this privilege and honor. Never lose the dependence that God will strengthen you in your time of need. You have been called by His ordination, counted worthy through faithfulness, and clothed with His strength. And because the God who calls is faithful, you can confidently move forward knowing that He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. As we lay hands upon you today, our prayer is not merely that God would use you. Our prayer is that decades from now, you will still be standing, still be preaching, still serving, still faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it be said of your life and ministry, He enabled him, He counted him faithful, and He put him into ministry. At this time, what we'd like to do is we want to have a sort of a transitional song here this morning. And as the musicians come to sing, we're going to set the stage up here. And then we're going to go and send for your kids as well. And they're going to come and they're going to join us for this next portion of our service here today. And so in order to help with this transition, why don't we all stand together and let's lift our voices and let's sing. And we've been singing Mako's favorite songs here today in honor to him. And so he loves these songs. And so we're going to sing those on his behalf. And ready? Let's all stand together and let's sing.